My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Great. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to two portions of Scripture. First Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 23, and then Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. While a lot of preachers in America today are focused on prosperity and people's prosperous destiny, I want to remind apostolics today that we do have a real enemy that's doing everything he can to destroy us. And we need to understand that. We need to know how to respond to it correctly. We have to respond to this enemy correctly. But 1 Chronicles 11 and 23, here's one of the mighty men of David. He slew an Egyptian. A man of great stature, sounds kind of like our enemy. 5 cubits high, and in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like a weaver's beam. Now he had a unique tactic, strategy on this enemy. He went down to him with a staff. Now that's all he had. The Egyptian had a spear, and he was just a little bit under-weaponed. Didn't quite have the armory that he needed to win the battle. So he said, well, since my staff's not going to work, I think I'll just pluck the spear out of that Egyptian's hand and turn it around on him and slay him with his own spear. And that's exactly what you got to learn to do when the enemy comes knocking at the door. Whatever he throws at you, you are authorized to pick it up, turn it around, and use it against him. You are authorized to do that. Now Micah 7:8 kind of gives you an understanding of things here. Gives you the ability to have hope in the midst of darkness. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I believe with all of my heart that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus were historical events that actually took place. Now, I know this on several levels. I know this historically, but I also know it spiritually because I've repented of my sins. I've been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, and I have been filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. So I know it's real. I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and say, I know it's real. Kind of sing it to him. It's real, it's real. But what about, I believe Jesus met his disciples on the Mount Olives, and I believe he ascended into heaven. I believe that's an actual historical event. Now, I know that we're looking forward to the catching away of the saints when Jesus returns and catches his bride out of this earth. How many of you are anticipating that and you're looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ? But is it possible that the ascension, which we oftentimes forget when we talk about redemption, when we talk about new birth, when we talk about living for Jesus, we always relegate that to some future fulfillment. But is it possible that you can ascend now in the Spirit and get above your trials, your temptations? Is it possible after you've been devastated and ruined by circumstance that you can literally ascend above it and come out of it? Better than you were when you went in. And so I want to talk to you about ascending from the ashes. Ascending from the ashes. So I want you to put your Bibles down, lift your hands and your voices right now and say, God, speak to my heart and help me to experience ascension that you have for us now. We know the final fulfillment and payment of that will be when you return and catch us away. We look forward to that event, but until then, Lord, we believe there is a spiritual lifting that can lift your people in this hour and the difficult moments that we have to live through and we have to experience. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. Brother D.L. Welch, the founding pastor of this great church, used to say that if people are left to themselves, they'll believe that the devil is a bullfrog and that hell's an ice cream parlor. But contrary to popular opinion, Satan's not on a sabbatical. Satan's not sunbathing in the Bahamas waiting for the rapture to take place. Satan's not submissively acclimating himself to the fires of hell. He's not quietly contemplating his concession speech. He is nowhere close to conceding defeat to Jesus Christ. He knows he's defeated, and he knows that ultimately that defeat will be made manifest in the universe, but he's not going to concede without a fight. He is busily laying snares of destruction, slithering around, spinning webs of deception. He is ravenously envisioning his sadistic victory over humanity because he knows he can't stop Jesus, but he still believes he can stop you. And that's why he fights. Because he wants to take you to hell with him. He's launching a full-scale assault. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But as long as there's fight in my spirit, and as long as there's faith in my heart, and as long as there's a song on my lips, I'm going to sing it to Jesus, and I'm going to have faith that we will win victory. I don't think nothing compares to the devil's attacks quite like the terrorist attacks of 9/11 that were launched, the failed attempt against the White House, United Flight 93, and then the Pentagon and the World Trade Center. But there are lessons that can be learned from these attacks and that teach us how to recover from the devastating attacks of our greatest terrorist of all, the devil. We fell in the Garden of Eden, and as a result, we are sinners, and we cannot overcome by ourselves that sin that holds us captive. But we can, and we will emerge victorious, but we will not do it unless we learn how to fight our way out of here. I am sorry, but the passive culture that is developing in Pentecost is not going to work. Just sitting back waiting on something to happen and somebody to perform for you to get you in the mood to worship, that day is over. if we're going to have victory and if we're going to ascend, we're going to have to learn how to fight every step of the way. I don't need quitters in the house. I need fighters. I don't need people to sit back and lick their finger and find out which way the wind's blowing to determine what their opinion is today. I need somebody who's settled. I need somebody who's built on the rock. I need somebody who's not going to move when there's another wind of doctrine that blows through. But I'm apostolic from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I'm talking about one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, and fire. I need fighters in the house. Now, the devil wears many faces and he goes by many different names, and he can deceive you in any particular one of these. He can come at you in one way, and if that doesn't work, he can come at you in another way. His name is Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. Belial, which means contrary. Anything God wants to do, he's contrary to it. Have you ever met anybody like that? Anything you want to do, they want to do the opposite. And it's not really that they're against what you're wanting to do. It's just you're for that, so they're against that. Just to be contrary. That's what the word Belial means. Accuser of the brethren. Have you ever met anybody like that? An adversary, that means just somebody to oppose you. Somebody that will lift up their voice and actively oppose you. You have an adversary, an antichrist. He'll try to take the place of Christ. He'll try to dethrone Christ from your life. He'll try to set up an idol or do something and get the spirit of antichrist to work in your life. He's called the devil, which means the destroyer. He wants to destroy you. He's the prince in the power of the air, the prince of this world, the god of this world. He's a murderer, a tempter, and the wicked one, and the ruler of this world. None of those names. Your pastor is not your enemy. I'm going to say it again. Your pastor is not your enemy. I'm going to say something else. The church is not your enemy. I'm going to take it a little further. Your spouse is not your enemy. Fellow ministers are not your enemy. Your children are not your enemies. The government is not your enemy. Contrary to popular opinion, your boss is not your enemy. Rude drivers in heavy traffic are not your enemies. The devil is your ultimate enemy, and he hates you. Now, here's a lesson that I've learned from the terrorist attacks of 9/11 that you better learn right now in this place. Today, the devil hates all humanity. Though we've never met or ever harmed this enemy, he hates us and will die killing us if he can. We have an avowed foe who hates us for who we are, how we live, and what we stand for. These terrorists hate us for no other reason than we're Americans. And that's exactly how the devil feels about you. The only thing this enemy stands for is our downfall. That's all he stands for. He doesn't stand for anything else. The devil hates humanity for no other reason than we are God's creation. He hates Christians and especially apostolics because we're noisy and we're worshipers. And we are his replacement. Everybody in here, regardless of who you are, you bear the mark of your first birth and you are God's creation. But those of us who have been born again of water and of spirit and bear the name of Jesus and the likeness of Jesus, and the devil hates it. He hates the likeness and image of God Almighty. Every time the devil looks at a Christian, he sees the blood of the Lamb and he's reminded of his defeat at Calvary. Every time the devil looks at the lost, he is reminded of his defeat in the Garden of Eden. And Christians remind the devil of Jesus and the New Testament. And everybody on this planet reminds the devil of the God of the Old Testament. The devil hates what God did for you in the Garden of Eden and what Jesus did for everyone at Calvary. The devil hates you because God breathed life into you and because Jesus died for you. The devil hates you for being born the first time. And if you've been born again the second time, he doubles his efforts to take you down. In your first birth, your natural birth, you take on his likeness and his image. But in the second birth, your spiritual birth, you take on his nature and his name. The first birth is temporary and the second birth is eternal. The first birth is a chance at the everlasting life, but the second birth guarantees, if you'll stay with Jesus, eternal life. The first birth, you're stained by sin but are allowed to live. But in the second birth, you are cleansed of all sin and allowed to live forever. In the first birth, God breathed life into you and you became a living soul. But in the second birth, God fills you with the Holy Ghost and you become a son of God. Woo. Now listen to me carefully. You can denounce God and the devil will still try to destroy you. You can join an atheistic society. Walk out of here and join the atheistic society, merge with agnostics, abstain with non-believers and convert to a non-Christian faith, and the devil will continue his relentless pursuit of your soul. You can backslide and leave the church and renounce your faith, and the devil will still torment you, goad you, provoke you, humiliate you, and destroy you. For this same reason, it is impossible to appease the devil by siding with him. Siding with him does not appease him, because every time he looks at you, he sees the likeness of God and he cannot stand it. The atheist and the devil worshiper can denounce the existence of God all they want to, but when the devil looks at God's creation, he still sees the image of God and he hates them as well. You cannot reason with the devil. That's the reason why the Bible says flee youthful lust, because you can't reason with that kind of nonsense. It'll destroy you every time. They're not content to imprison us. They want to eradicate us. That's what I learned from the 9/11 terrorist attacks. I understand trying to understand people of diverse backgrounds and viewpoints and loving all people, but you don't try to sit down and shake hands with a mugger and say, hey, I'm glad to meet you. I'm so glad you came into my life. I want to talk to you for a little. Can we just sit down and while he's beating your brains out and wanting to steal your purse? You cannot. I said you cannot reason with that person. There's no reasoning with it. They just want to take what they want, and they want it now. You cannot reason with rebellious devils. You can't reason with rebellion. You can't reason with deceit. You can't tame a terrorist. There's no such thing as it. Because all they want to do is tear down. I wish somebody would listen to me right now. Because I'm going to tell you, it's the truth of the Word of God. You're not going to high five a hijacker. Be on a plane and they're wanting to take over and say, just give me a high five, brother. And that's going to take care of it. Let's sit down and have a party. There is no discussion. They want the plane. They want to take it over and they want to use it destructively. That's the devil. He doesn't want to reason with you. He wants to destroy you. There's only one thing he listens to, and that's resistance. And somebody to stand up and rebuke him. wish somebody would stand up and rebuke sickness right now, and rebuke depression right now, and rebuke the problems of our world. I wish somebody would take authority. The devil will lie to you about everything, but I stand here in the Holy Ghost and I say somebody needs to rebuke him in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the devil's primary target. You need to understand this because he's after every one of you, but he has his primary targets. Because in 9/11 terrorist attacks, the United Flight 93, most people believe it's the White House that they were headed for. That's what most people believe. They did not accomplish that, but that was the intention. Of course, they hit the Pentagon and the World Trade Center, and the enemy attacked these three centers. And I believe that they reflect how the enemy tries to attack you and gain control over you. First of all, he's going to try to take out the authority in your life. He doesn't want any authority in your life, so he does everything he can. Why in the world does everybody in media want to tear down authority? Because it's the enemy's tactic. He does not want the word of God to have any effect on you, so certainly just sit there and don't respond to the word at all. He does not want the word of God to shape your character, modify your behavior, or instruct you on how to live or how to be saved. And that's the reason why he comes against the preacher so strongly, is because sometimes that voice is the voice that speaks into your life, that reason, that spiritual understanding, so that you can be convicted in your heart and repent and change your life. He doesn't want the Holy Ghost to move in this place. That's the reason why he fights a moving of the Holy Ghost as much as he fights the Word of God. He doesn't want the singers to sing. He doesn't want the people to worship. He doesn't want you to make any noise. Let's just be silent. Let's be quiet. Let's be like everybody else. No, I don't want to be like everybody else. If I wanted to be like everybody else, I would become what they are. Because it's the Holy Ghost that'll convict your conscience. It's the Holy Ghost that'll soften your heart. It's the Holy Ghost that'll fill you with compassion. So I'm not going to stop clapping my hands, devil. And I'm not going to stop dancing in the church. And I'm not going to stop praising my God. I'm not going to stop lifting my voice. You can sit there and wait for somebody to perform for you so you can approve it. Say, check, that's good. Praise the Lord. No, I'm going to tell the devil you're a liar. I'm going to tell the devil I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of God. I might be down, but I'm going to ascend. I might be in the ashes, but I'm going to ascend. I believe somebody. That's why he fights the pastor and the voice in this pulpit, whoever it might be. Doesn't make any difference who it is. He's going to fight it. He's going to try to tear it down. He's going to say, well, I don't like it. He's going to say whatever he tells you to try to persuade you not to receive it. Because the preaching, the word of guidance, the word in the pulpit is important. You need to hear the word of God preached. Because you can get off on your own thing and think you're doing the right thing till you hear somebody preach about it, and then you realize you're not as right as you thought you were. Has anybody ever done you wrong and then all of a sudden you know it's the will of God for you to smash them right upside the head? God told me to punch you all up in the mouth. God ever told anybody that? It was the Lord, but it was the Lord of your own making. Then the preacher preaches, you need to forgive them. The preacher preaches, and all of a sudden you realize you're not as right as you thought you were. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not your enemy. I want you to be saved. There is authority that will come into your life that'll give you the ability to save yourself from this untoward generation. It'll give you the ability to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. It'll give you the ability to make the right choices when you don't have anybody speaking to you. When nobody's there to watch your behavior or to see what you're doing, you still make the right choice. The devil will fight not only your authority, but he'll come against your security. He'll take your security, your holiness, your separation from the world. He'll tell you it does not matter what you do and how you dress. And we got a lot of voices like that. Now, I wish that it was just hell saying that, but I've got Pentecostal people saying that because they want to live a different way. This is a holiness church. It's been a holiness church since it was established 850 something years ago. And I'm talking about this local church, and I'm just picking about that because we've been in existence now 85 or 86 years. 86 years we've been a holiness church, and we're not going to change because I'm not going to let the devil get my holiness. And I can promise you this, I'm not going to let the devil get my prayer life. And I'm not going to let the devil get my study life. And I'm not going to let the devil take my fasting away from me. And you're not going to mess with my church attendance. I'm coming to church, devil, whether you like it or not. And you're not going to mess with my fellowship. Man, my wife and I had the best time yesterday. Of course, we played golf in the rain. That really wasn't the best time, but we had a great time of fellowship afterwards. And then we came back to the church to judge the hyphen class who made certain dishes for us and presented it all to us. And we sat down and could taste it and then had to grade it. Oh, and they made me donuts. They had to do it from scratch. They couldn't go to Krispy Kreme. But I like them donuts better than I do Krispy Kreme because there was some love all up in there. And you should have seen those kids coming out in the hyphen class and presenting their dishes and the salmon and the chicken and the catfish. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I mean, they had pumpkin cheesecake and donut holes and donuts. Woo! Hallelujah. And potatoes and this, and they just went, I love fellowship. Devil, you're not going to get my fellowship with good, godly people. You're not going to get my fellowship with all these preachers and ministers that we have in the kingdom of God. Devil, you're not going to get my fellowship because I'm going to worship and I'm going to live for God and do His will and accomplish His purpose. Devil, I'm going to serve God with all of my heart. You do what you want to, devil, but I'm still going to serve the Lord. I mean, fellowship is just awesome. Isn't it great to be in God's house today with all of God's people and worship together and lift up your voice and have people of like precious faith and to see the Russells, my brother from another mother in Alexandria, And to be with them today, and now the Robins, not the Robins, the Robins, sorry about that, the Robins. And it's good to have them, and they're up here worshiping the Lord. They're not even a part of this particular church yet. They are a part of the greater kingdom of God. Devil, you're not going to shut me off from my people. The first thing the devil does is isolate you so he can pick you off. And I come against that kind of spirit in the name of Jesus. When you're hurt, get to church. When you've been treated, mistreated, and unjustly treated, get to church. I don't care what you've got to do. Don't let the devil steal your security. We need authority preached in this house. It doesn't make any difference what the devil thinks about it. But let me hasten on. Here's the third thing the devil will attack. He'll attack your prosperity. He'll take your stewardship away from you. He'll take your health. He'll take your finances. He'll keep you from paying tithes. Boy, it sure is quiet now. He doesn't want you to give to foreign missions, home missions, or any other kind of mission. He doesn't want you to give in the offerings. He wants to turn you away from giving because giving is worship and he can't stand worship. Thank you. I got one hand clap. I appreciate it. The rest of you are a little late on the draw, but you're good. He'll take your marriage and your family. Because the Bible says, husbands, if you'll love your wife, that is health to you. And it is your life. So you don't have the right to disrespect your wife and treat her like she's a dog. I love you, baby. You're awesome. Well, go ahead. I got two hand claps. I feel good about it. I'm in the book. I mean, we don't like to hear this anymore. We want to hear about prosperity and God's going to send us out of this and that and the other. I'm going to show you how. Treat your wife right and God will answer your prayers. That's what the book says. That's book. That is the book. That's not Pentecost. That's not Brian Kinsey. That's the Word of God. So go. I need my prayers answered. I need God to hear me. You need to smooch on her a little more. You need to love on her. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost already. You need to love on her more. You need to care about her more. You need to treat her right. That's the will and the word of God, because the devil's after our security. And this church is no stronger than its marriages. And we need strong marriages, and we need men who know how to treat their woman. Come on, somebody. We need that in the church. Treat her right. Don't talk to her like she's a dog. Don't talk so angry all the time. We got too many angry men that need to bring that anger to the altar. I'm preaching in the Holy Ghost right now. Bring your wrath to the altar. And if you lift up holy hands, do it without anger. Do it with love in your heart for your family. Be not bitter towards them. And he's talking to the husbands. Be not bitter towards your wife. And aren't you wives wishing your husband were here right now? See, this is what you get for missing church. I mean, I'm giving you a ticket to a new life, to ascend. You want to ascend? Give the Word of God authority in your life. It's done by permission only. I mean, God is God, and he could do anything he wanted to, so he could pre-program you to do anything he wanted you to do. He is God. He can alter you genetically. He can alter your DNA. He can put a thought in your mind. He can put a pothole in the road, make you wreck. He can do whatever he wants to do, but he doesn't do that because it's your choice. You make the choice. He's got the authority to do that, same as the pastor. All I can do is preach. I don't have any other authority than to obey God. And then God has to take the word from there. And you have to make the right choice. But I give the word of God authority. If Brother Russell was up here preaching, I'd give him authority in my life to speak the word of God. Woo! Brother Strobel, Brother Stafford, whoever's up here, they have authority to preach the word of God. And to tell me what God's got to say about it. You want to ascend? Keep your holiness. Keep your holiness no matter how the devil tries to lie to you. And keep giving and keep your marriage the way it's supposed to be. and keep loving on them. Keep caring about them. I mean, some of you don't even want to look at your wife right now. Keep on loving. Now just look over there and say, I love you. I love you. Why don't you do that? Did I hear anything? Ladies, I'm on your team today. I'm fighting for you. Put up with that crazy man of yours. Thank God for him. Amen. Thank God for him. He's aggravating, but thank God for him. Amen. God put him in your life for a reason. We don't have time to go into that. It's 12. It's 12:01, as a matter of fact. And they're saying, thank God, saved by the bell. Do y'all even know what that means? Do y'all know what saved by the bell actually means? It actually comes from a time whenever people misdiagnosed people that were dead, that were really in a coma, and buried them alive. And a lot of people buried, they were buried with a bell, that they, if they were still living and they came to, they could ring the bell and they were saved by the bell. You say, well, they don't do that anymore. Well, I'm threatening to do that to some Pentecostals because I'm wondering, are you really dead or alive? Oh, I'm just saying. Come on, church. We're a worshiping church. We're a Holy Ghost church. We're a Jesus name church. We're a one God church. And that's who we are. This is our hour. This is our day. We need to stand against the enemy and rebuke him in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. I didn't get to it. I didn't get to my text. That was just the introduction. I can preach it tonight. November the 9th or 7th, 2009. They commissioned three warships, the USS New York, the USS Arlington, the USS Somerset, that were built from the scrap metal that they confiscated and extracted from the World Trade Center, and built those warships out of that steel and repurposed it to fight the enemy. And that's exactly what you need to learn to do. So the devil has devastated you, okay? I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Go to the place where he reduced you to ashes and take those ashes and do exactly what Moses did and bring them to God and throw them up in the air. Here's my hurt. Here's my pain. And watch God turn what was meant to destroy you into the very thing that gives you the power to bring the enemy down. In Jesus' name, I speak it. I don't know who's fighting for their life or their marriage or their circumstance or their miracle or their blessing or their healing or fighting for your life. I don't know who might be here today. But if you're in the fight, we're going to fight with you. And I want you to step out from where you're standing. And I want you to come to the front. And I want you to get prepared. All of our ministers are going to be up here to pray with you. But you're fighting. And you know that you need the help of the Lord. You know you're fighting for something that the enemy is trying to steal and to take from you, but you're not going to sit back any longer and allow him control to take you down and to defeat you. You're going to come up here and you're going to believe God, and you're going to fight. We're going to fight with you. You're not going to fight alone. You're not going to be by yourself. Because all of us, if we're not in that situation now, you can better believe it, we have been in that situation. We've been there. The enemy attacks through many different ways. He comes against us. Come on, all over the house. They're still coming from the balcony. Come on up here and start praying. We're going to fight the devil. We're not going to let him win without a fight. We're going to fight. We're going to take the ashes of our life. We're going to take the ruin of our life. And we're going to fight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God wants to answer our prayer. He wants us to ascend, but we have to do His will. We have to consecrate. We have to accomplish His purpose. And we have to do His will for God to work in us.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.